All right, well, everyone's nice and quiet, so we're going to go ahead and get started. I think everybody's ready to go. So, good morning, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. Good to see that no one melted on the way in. We might melt on the way home. It's going to be up there today in the 90s, but for those of you who love the hot summer, today is your day. This is for you. So, good to be in church this morning. Thankful that God got us all here safely. And I'm looking forward to what he has for us in these services this morning and tonight. Excuse me. So if you would, I'm going to ask you to please stand with me and turn to page 822. Page 822, our great Savior.
Jesus, Lover of my soul, friends. thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. We ask you, Father God, to strengthen us, lift us up. I pray this morning that just be filled with your Holy Spirit, that you give him utterance and use Pastor in a tremendous way. The Lord prepare us for the up and coming week. Father God, we know that times are getting worse, but we need to be bold like Elijah and stand fast, Lord, and we need your strength. We need your mercy, your grace to do it. So, Father God, I pray that you'd be with us today. Bless the song service. And, Lord, I just ask you now to preside over the service. Come meet with us. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. If you would, turn with me to page number 11. Page number 11. Oh, worship the King. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. All right. If you kept your place for that last song. Our final song will just be one page back. Song number 10. Go for a thousand tongues to sing. Psalm number 10. If you're able, I'd ask you to please stand with me and sing out to the Lord this morning. Page number 10.
Your Bible this morning, look back over at Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to do a little rewind this morning from what I did last week because I forgot my notes for the last part of Genesis chapter 4. But if you look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16, look here, finishing up this chapter 4. The Bible says in verse number 16, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east side of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and built a city and called his name and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was a father of such as dwell in tents, and as of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was a father of all such as handled a harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And a sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and 7-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And so Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos, and then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this opportunity this morning. Lord, thank you for being in church, dear God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your word. And so, Lord, I pray now you just give wisdom, guidance, direction, and instruction. Lord, that we glorify and praise your name, for you're worthy of it. We ask these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Bible says here, as we finish up chapter 4, verse 16, that Cain goes out from the presence of the Lord. As Cain goes out from the presence of the Lord, one thing we realize here is that never at one moment does Cain show or ever admit his wrongdoing in killing his brother. There's no remorse, or at least it's shown in the scriptures that Cain never shows any amount of remorse, no repenting, no showing any humility or contrition for killing his own brother. And like before, we all have read through the story numerous times, but can you imagine taking your own brother's life, his blood being on your hands, and not at any moment show any type of remorse or sorrow over what you've done. And Cain here, the Bible says, he goes out from the presence of the Lord. Cain chooses to leave God. Now the Bible says that God, he said there up further on in the chapter that he's being driven out by God from the face of the earth. But here we see in verse 16, Cain goes out from the presence of the Lord. You see, when one leaves the presence of God, they will only go downhill. When you leave the presence of God, when you choose your own way, you choose to do things your own way, it's only a downhill slope. You see, you can't short circuit what the Bible says. It can't happen, brethren. We can't put forth what I'm beginning to call excuse cards to God and say, well, God, I'm going to pull out my excuse card, and God, this excuse card gives me to do something different than what your word says because I have a reason why I need to do something different than what the Bible says. You cannot play that card on God. You can't pull something that's happened in the past or something that's happening in the present or something that may happen in the future and say, God, because of these things, Lord, I have a reason of why I'm doing it different from your word because I believe this is the best way to be done. You can't do that with the Lord. Anytime you leave out from the presence of God, you say, well, preacher, what's the presence of God today? I believe it's time that we spend in prayer. I believe it's time that we spend meditating upon God's word, walking with him, but also reading the Bible. When you neglect to read your Bible, you are going and leaving the presence of God. I believe as you read your Bible, you become into the presence of God through the word. And he leads, guides, and directs you. What does the Bible say? What does Scripture say? So Cain goes from the presence of the Lord. And then we're given kind of a lineage, a short lineage of Cain. It's interesting that you find two names with Cain, Cain's lineage that you find also with Adam through Seth. And one of them is Enoch and the other is Lamech. And it's interesting that both of those men, Enoch, he walked with God and was not the line that came from Seth. But here we find an Enoch from the line of Cain and also a Lamech in the line of Cain. And Lamech takes two wives and kills a man. But the Lamech and Seth's line, we're going to look at it, Noah ends up coming from his father Lamech. But anyways, we look here at 19, and Lamech took on him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. They have some children, Jabal and Jubal. His sons are involved in cattle, his sons are involved in music, and his sons are involved with teaching art or manufacturing art. So the Bible says that Jabal, he dwelt in tents and had cattle. Jubal was the father of all such who handle harp and organ. And Tubal Cain, he was an instructor of every art or instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Seems that this man, his name means a producer of brass articles. So to say that man was dumb from the very beginning is a false statement. I believe man was as the smartest he ever was in the very beginning. When God made Adam and Eve, I believe there was none like Adam as far as his intellect and sense. I believe he had everything God wanted. He has some children, his grandchildren, they go on to produce instruments of music and organs. It says in verse 21, a harp and an organ. And then Tubal Cain, he's an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Basically a man that works with metals and is able to do things. I don't think man was just using a rock and chipping away at a tree and acting and grunting like he's a caveman. No, these were smart men that knew how to make things, to construct things. Okay? And so you have Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal Cain. It's interesting also that Lamech takes two wives, Zilpah and Ada. You know, I think when we go from the presence of God, when you leave from the presence of the Lord, you go into humanism. Not only do you go into humanism, but I believe you go back into paganism and heathenism. And brethren, we're almost at that point today in our society today. We're at the point of Satanism, humanism, paganism in our country today, you see to some of the same things that the pagans did. And I'm not just talking, I'm talking about pagans of Europe, Africa, all the way over into the east of Mongolia and India. And what you see when paganism and hedonism, you start to see individuals start to mark themselves with tattoos. Start getting all sleeved up. Bones, you see people jumping around a fire and they got bones in their ears or their ear. That's exactly what's happening in the United States of America today. we're quickly moving into Satanism. Real quick. I was watching a sermon yesterday or Friday night, and an ad came up for some new type of series by Disney. I'll tell you this right here this morning, as your pastor, if you got Disney stuff, you need to get rid of it. I'm not playing games with it. You want to keep playing around with Disney, keep playing around with Disney. But Disney has gone down a satanic road. There's no other word for it. I sat there and I watched this promotion for this series coming out called Moon Knight. You seen what I'm talking about, Miss Cheryl? So in this trailer, that comes up, this man is walking through a crowd, and his people are like, oh, and they're touching him, and they're like he's a god. And as soon as I saw this man walking through the crowd like Jesus, and people were touching him like he's untouchable. And the first thing I thought was Antichrist. Comes up to the people and he calls people up and he brings them up to a judgment whether they go to heaven or whether they go to hell. And he's got a tattoo on his arm of a balance. And as he holds that individual there, that to dictate whether this is a righteous individual or a wicked individual. Guess what else is in this movie? A man that's made up of three parts. Kind of reminds me of the Bible a little bit, of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Made up of three parts. This man is made up of three parts, but he's got three different bodies, but yet he's one man. And he battles his different personalities that he's got. And even mentions PTSD and mental illness in this movie. And he battles this mental illness. And guess what happens to him? The same thing that these kids in these juvenile centers are saying. They black out and don't know what they do. And then they come through again and they've committed some horrible crime. And that's exactly what is in this movie. This man commits crimes. It's like he snaps out of it and he goes into a daze. His eyes rolls back in the head. He kills some people. And then he comes back to himself with a gun in his hand like, what did I just do? Exactly what's going on in our juvenile centers and on our streets right now. People blacking out, saying, I don't know what happened. I came to, and this was done. And this is in a Disney movie or series. You can play games with your preacher. All I can do is put it out there, and the blood's not on my hands. But Christians that keep wanting to messing around with things that they ought not to be messing around with, and allowing spirits into their houses that they don't even realize they're letting into their houses, and the influences of television. And we wonder why we have no power with God. Brother, I'm afraid today if Christians, Bible-believing Christians, don't wake up, they're going to fall prey to some things they thought they'd never fall prey to. They're going to do things they never thought they would do. There's only so much a preacher can do. There's only so much a pastor can do. Cain leaves out from the presence of God, and it goes downhill from there for Cain. Downhill. Brethren, it goes so far downhill, even as we're going to look into Genesis chapter 5, and into Genesis chapter 6 when we bring into Noah. And a lot of individuals say, well, the sons of God, you know, that was the godly line of Seth. They decided to see some beautiful women from the line of Cain. And instead of marrying the women that were trying to do right, the seed of Seth all the way up, instead of marrying the women in their own, they went and decided to marry some worldly women, women who weren't, for lack of better words, Christians, and this produced giants. Brethren, if that was the case, then you're talking about only eight people out of that godly line getting on that boat. Think about this for a moment, brethren. I'm going ahead of myself here. I was thinking about the other day, only 8 people got on the ark, and it was one family. 8 people. A daddy, a wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. After 120 years of preaching of righteousness, only 8 people get on the ark. Enoch walked with God. If Enoch is a picture of the rapture of the church, what goes out? One man goes out. There's one man that's found that has a walk with God, and it's Enoch. Where is everybody else at? And guess what? Through most of this that we're reading here up to the point of Noah, for the most of the period of time from Adam up to Noah, Adam is alive for the majority of that period of time. So if anybody wanted to know truth, all they had to do is go back to the man who was in the beginning and say, Adam, what happened? And yet you find as Adam died, I don't know how many hundreds of years it was before Noah came on the ark, but it wasn't that long from when Adam dies and that ark's being. And you only have 8 people from one family getting on that boat. Brethren, these are serious matters with God. We were out there yesterday trying to be a witness and a testimony. We had an opportunity to talk to a man. Brethren, the hatred for Christians is off the charts. You see, if we just stay in our home, brethren, hear me this morning. If we just stay in our homes, don't try to witness, don't try to talk to nobody about Jesus Christ, I believe we will be lulled to sleep in thinking of how safe we really are and how okay it really is. It is not okay. It is not okay. Yesterday when I was out there, I believe we have a society today with some in society today that would think nothing of killing a Christian right now. Nothing. I believe people, there are some people out there in this community that if they said we're going to put some Christians to death, they would get their popcorn, soda, and sit there and watch and enjoy it. I believe that as sure as I'm standing here. I have never yesterday seen such hatred for holding up a sign that says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Or a sign that says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Or a sign that says, seek him with all your heart. And the middle finger goes up. And people growling at you. People growling at you. Growling. We don't wrestle with the powers of darkness, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. You tell me this book don't have power and isn't the Word of God, the very words of God? You see, when you deal with people, and I believe this, I try to always hold up a scripture sign that's got a scripture on it because it's the Word of God. And the devils of hell hate God's Word. Hate God's Word. You could put up there, like even a sign we got, I understand it. I understand, and I'm not saying it's wrong to hold it. But just asking the question where we spend eternity, I get it. All right, that's fine. But when you hold up a verse, there's power in that. And the devil wants to do everything he can to destroy your faith and trust as this being God's word. Well, it's just the best that we have. Hogwash. It's not the best that we have. It's God's word. It's God's word. And that's why when you hold up God's word, the devils will growl at you. You know when the Psalms it talks about the bulls of Bashan? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When it talks about the bulls of Bashan? I believe when Jesus Christ was on that cross, I believe the suffering in his humanity that he had physically had to deal with, the stripes and the beating and the physical pain of hanging there on a cross, I believe he had to suffer those things. But I believe the greatest things that the Lord suffered was not only his father turning his back on him and him losing fellowship with the father for that little span there because he became sin for us. I believe also the battles that we didn't see that the Lord went through was the spiritual battles of all the hounds of hell and the devils of hell mocking him encircling him around that cross and jeering at him, wagging their head at him, yelling at him, tormenting him, or trying to get at him in the spiritual realm. Brethren, it's a sign of devil possession when someone growls at you. Someone starts growling at you, I believe you're dealing with a spirit. I believe you're dealing with a spirit. I used to see it with the kids in the juvenile center. They would growl, and they get a different look in their eye. You say, preacher, why are you talking about all these things? Because Cain left from the presence of the Lord. And how many Christians today or Bible believers have drifted from the presence of God? How many have drifted from the presence of God and don't even realize what is in their own Bible? They don't even realize the Bible and the positions you can get into. You see, Lamech, look what happens to Lamech. Not only does, okay, so Cain doesn't make it right. Cain doesn't make it right, and now Cain affects these generations coming after him. It says in verse 23, and Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken to my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. I'll say this too, be careful of commentaries. There's some commentaries out here that say, well, he killed Cain. It doesn't say he killed Cain. It says he killed a young man. I wouldn't think he'd refer to Cain as being a young man because Cain would be older than him. But you've got some commentators out there that say, well, he killed Cain, that's why he's so distressed. And not only did he kill Cain, but he was also blind and he was being led by the hands of his sons. And he ran into Cain and he killed Cain. And then his son said, well, do you realize who you killed Cain? And then he laments over killing Cain and that's why he brings him on this judgment. That's not there. If you don't understand, say, well, I don't understand. There's a lot in this Bible I have no clue about. And every time I read it, I scratch my head and I say, I have no idea what the scripture means. I have no idea. None. I don't know. And the more I read, the more I realize, I guess we'll find out someday when we get home to heaven, but this is what it says, and we'll go forward. So Cain kills a man. Lamech kills a man. And he says in verse 24, if Cain be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. He says, I've wounded a man to my hurt. Look what he says there in verse number 23, the latter part. For I've slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. What about the man you killed? You see, this. I'm the one that's hurt here. I'm the one that's wounded. I'm the one that's experiencing pain here, but you killed somebody. It's the same attitude that Cain showed. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 11. Proverbs 30, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 11. Look what the Bible says here in Proverbs 30, verse 11. Proverbs 30, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. The Bible says here, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. That's today. That's our generation today. That is the United States of America. United States of America is a generation right now that curses their father and does not bless their mother. United States of America today there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Me and Brother Jim had an opportunity, Mr. DeLucia there, had an opportunity to deal with a man yesterday that was walking on the streets, and he came up to us and he talked with Brother Jim first and he came over my way. But he wanted to argue to say that Jesus Christ was not God, that he was just a man. Well, to me, that's a spirit of Antichrist, saying that Christ did not come in the flesh. God, the Bible says God was manifested in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Jehovah's Witness want to use their Greek to say that it should say a God. All right? No. He was God. capital W-O-R-D, the Word, manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 10:30, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. You know what he said? I try to quote him scripture. Well, I don't believe the Bible. The Bible's corrupt. It's been written by men thousands of years. It's just corrupt where it's at today. I said, okay. I said, so then what do we use then to determine what we believe? Verse 12, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Not there today. I do what's right in my own eyes with what I feel in my heart. What does the Bible say? What does the Scripture say? What does the Word of God say? I don't want to hear what's on your heart. I want you to give me Bible. And that's what I did with that man when he first started. I said, sir, can you scriptures on why Jesus is not God? No. Okay, well, I can give you Bible scriptures on why Jesus is God. And then that's when we default to, well, my heart and what I don't believe. Everything I base what I believe on, I try to take it from Scripture. I try to base what I believe. I believe Jesus Christ is God, and I believe there's Bible that shows that. I believe that Jesus died on a cross, that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that he shed his blood, God's blood, on that cross, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, that he's now seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercessions for me. And if I place my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on that cross by shedding his blood, dying for my sin, rising again, that if I place my faith and trust in that, that I will now have eternal life because of Jesus Christ. I believe you can show Scripture for all that I just said. But you today that say, well, I feel, I believe. Well, give me Bible. Give me scriptures. Give me something that we both can stand upon to talk about something. Not merely, I think. Brethren, this man, I tried talking with him. And so I said, sir, I said, what do you do with your sins? What do you do with your sins? Well, I just believe and I repent and I keep the Ten Commandments. I said, really? I said, so are you a thief? Well, yeah, everybody. See, here we go. This is how it goes, right? I said, are you a thief? Well, everybody. No, I asked you, are you a thief? You see, so often when people get the spotlight put on them, all of a sudden they want to point fingers everywhere else. Well, everybody's a thief. Well, sir, I'm not worried about everybody right now, sir. I'm talking to you. Thief? I said, you ever lie before? Yeah, that makes you... Okay, so you're a liar and you're a thief. And he's like, well, I've probably broken all God's commandments. I said, good, well, then you're not saved by them then. Well, yeah, well, I just believe, so I'm saved. I said, what do you do with your sins? Well, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I said, no. I said, no, that don't work. He said, what do you mean that don't work? I said, because Jesus is not God, he can't die for your sins. Just like I can't die for you, sir, nor can you die for me. I said, sir, what do you do with your sins? And I walked away from him. Well, I said, sir, I turned around. He said something. I said, sir, what are you going to do about your sins? And I walked away from him. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Do you want truth? I'm not going to sit there all day and argue with you when you don't receive the very truth that I tried to give you. Because we're going to go around in circles all day long. And there's other people out here that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ or see these signs that I'm holding. You see, there's a generation that's pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from the filthiness. There is a generation, verse 13 says, there is a generation, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords, jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. The horse leaves had two daughters crying, "Give, give!" There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not enough. Is that not us in our society? Give, give, what can you do for me? You know, the church isn't a matter of what the church can do for you, rather what you can do for the church. The church is not a matter of what the church can do for you, though I think the church ought to do things. Rather, it ought to be, well, what can I do for the church and what can I do for others is what God, I believe, finds honor in. So Cain walks out from the presence of God. His one of his lineage says, I've wounded a man in my hurt, and he leaves out from the presence of God. We find chapter 25 and 26, Adam and Eve have another child after the death of Abel, though I believe that many children after the death of Abel. But they have a son, and the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 4 that they name him Seth. The Bible says in verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos, and then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So Eve states that the Lord has appointed another seed instead of Abel. This seed is the godly line leading up to deliver or Messiah. All right, take your Bible and look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 1. Galatians 4, 1. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, different servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors until the time appointed to the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But look at verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God. Very interesting statement there. Look at it again. Talking about, we read there about how the fullness of time came, the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was made of a woman to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. But then verse 9 says, but now, after that ye have known God. There's a lot of people today that know God. They know who God is. They can tell you who God is. There's many who can even tell you who Jesus is and what Jesus did. And that's fine and that's good. But think about this for a moment. Let's say some individual that you like or you think very highly of, yet you never met them before. But you know a lot about them. Actually, you know so much about them that you could basically write a short story on this individual's life. You might know when they were born. You might know where they were, where they were raised, what their birth date is, who their wives, who their husbands were, their children, what they like, what they don't like. Yet you have never met that person, but you can say, I know them. But the question comes in, though, do they know you? See, I could say, well, I know, I'm just throwing this as an example. I know all this about President Trump. I know this, I know this, I know this, I know he did this here. I mean, I could write a book on anything I know about this man. I know all about him. I know him. And somebody can says, well, have you ever met him? Well, no, I've never met him. Oh, you never met him? Oh, okay. And then maybe later on, this individual gets an opportunity to interview the president, previous president, say, hey, as I'm doing this, do you know so-and-so? And he'd be like, I have no idea who you're talking about. Yeah, but they know all about you. They know your birthday. They know your favorite ice cream. They know everything. You sure you don't know them? No, I have no clue who that person is. How many people are like that with God? You see, it doesn't matter so much that we know God. The question is, or rather are known of God. Do you see? But after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. If we were able, and I'm not being sacrilegious here, if we were able to do an interview with God or the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father or the Son, and go up there in heaven as they're on the throne, and I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but say, do you know so-and-so down there? Because they say they know you. And the Lord says, no, I don't know who they are. They're not mine. Are you sure, Lord? Yeah, Lord, they say they know all about you, Lord. They talk all about you, but you don't know them? No, I don't know them. How many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, have we not? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's good to say, well, I know Jesus, but does Jesus Christ know you? And then see, this all comes back to what I talked about earlier. Does his spirit bear witness with your spirit, whereby you cry, like being an adopted son or daughter, Abba, Father. And the Father hears his son or daughter here that's been born again and is now a son of God. And the Father knows his children, and the children know the Father. You see, there's a song I want to learn in a one-on-one book that says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. You see, you have this godly line, and we're now part of that godly line. Take your Bible, and as I believe, as Jesus Christ bruised the head of the serpent on that cross of Calvary, when he shed his blood for the sins of all mankind, that he went to hell, not to suffer, but to deposit our sins there, and I believe to look at the devil and say, give me the keys. Give me the keys of death and hell. Revelation. He now has the keys of death and hell. Jesus Christ was victorious. He bore our sins as that scapegoat. He went to hell. He didn't go to the grave, Sheol, Hades, whatever. He didn't go to the grave. The Bible says he went to hell to deposit our sins there. As the victor over sin, death, and hell, and the grave, I believe he went there as a champion, as a captain, and said to the devil, give me those keys, because they're mine now. That if anybody dies now, from the body, present the Lord. I got the keys, and they're mine. I don't believe he went to hell to suffer. I believe he went to hell to deposit the sins there, saying to remember no more in an uninhabited land, to be taken away forever, and to give me those keys because they're mine, and I'm going over to the other side now, over to paradise, Abraham's bosom. And guess what, fellas and ladies? Guess what? We're going home here. Takes them up there to heaven. Led captivity captive. That's my God. That's my King. And now look. We represent our King. We are now ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. We now bruise Satan under our own feet. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Or should I say, are we? Are we bruising the devil under our own feet through the Lord Jesus Christ? Not of our own power, but the power given to us by Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Actually, look at verse number 19. Romans 16, verse 19. Look. You see, Eve said, I have another seed now. God's given me another seed. He promised a seed that would bruise the serpent's head. And God's given me Seth. And he's going to be that godly line that's going to lead up to the Messiah. But look at what Romans chapter 16, verse 20, or 19 says. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace, What it says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That bruising is going to be done complete when we're taken home to heaven to spend forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, now, today, we have the ability, we have the power through Jesus Christ and what he's done for us through the new birth to, listen, to live victorious, a victorious life for our Savior Jesus Christ. To put to shame the enemy, the devil, by the God living through our life and giving us victory over sin, death, and hell. To where sin no longer has to rule and reign in these mortal bodies. We no longer have to yield to sin. We can now yield our members to members of righteousness. We can now yield our members as members of holiness, of godliness. We have the ability today to get victory over the devil, over sin, and over everything that we face out there in this world. But how many times do we live in a condition to where the world and all that gets victory over us rather than us getting victory over it? The Bible says, and God of peace shall bruise Satan shortly. Christ be with you all. Amen. Seth, it says, at this time began men to call upon the name of God. What must it have been like, brethren? Think about this for a moment as we close up chapter 4. Lord, we'll finish up 5 next week. Can you imagine what it had been like for Adam? Can you imagine? Put your Adam's shoes just for a moment. The man lived for 900 and some years. He lived almost 1,000 years, brethren. Think about that for a moment. Almost 1,000 years. That's like one of us being born in the 1100s. And we're getting ready to die today. Imagine all that we could have seen human being from the 1100s up to 2022. Adam lived almost a space of 1,000 years. Can you imagine everything that Adam saw and the chaos it produced by his rebellion in the garden? Can you imagine Adam sitting back and just seeing the way that Cain went and then Cain's lineage and the things going on over there and things going on? Adam is seeing the results of his sin and disobedience to God. I could not imagine Adam bore upon his heart. What a blessing it must have been to Adam to see his desire in both Seth and Enos to serve the Lord in truth and teach others to do the same. You know, it's no greater joy of a father than to see his children walk in the ways of God. There's no greater joy than that, to have children and then have them walk in the ways of God. So Adam here, I believe, had some joy when he Seth and Enos wanting to call upon the name of God. Take your Bible as we close up here to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Call upon the name of God. Call upon the name of the Lord. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. The Bible says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to them live and go bless the land which the Lord God of your father giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandment of your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye did cleave unto the Lord your God this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day. Look at verse 9 now. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy son's son, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Oreb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Brethren, I'm not going to read any further chapter here, but I believe Israel, God desired Israel and His people to be a light to the nations. I believe God desired for the nation of Israel to be a light and a testimony by their righteousness, by the way they walked with God, how they strived to live according to the law and do the things that were right and proper and godly. To be a pure and a peculiar nation that other nations around them will look at them and say, what a God the nation of Israel serves. Their God is different than my God. Their God answers prayer. Their God brings them deliverance. Their God seems to have the answers. Let me leave my gods and my nation and go here and figure out and find out what this nation has and the God that they serve. You see this happening with Rahab. Do you not see it happen with Rahab in Jericho? Something that occurred 40 years earlier, it was still known in that city that there is a nation or a people coming out from Egypt that their God has done some mighty works, has brought about a great deliverance, and maybe He can deliver and help me. And Rahab heard about that God, and God, I believe, her heart wanted to know the true God. God sent some spies across her way, and she took the little bit of light that she got from those spies and what she heard, and she grasped a hold of it, and guess what? She got into the lineage of the Messiah. She got into the lineage, a harlot. Who knows the sins that woman committed? She was a harlot, yet she was one of the others in the line of the Messiah. She was in the lineage. A pagan, heathen, harlot woman that wanted to know the true God, found deliverance in the true God, and found herself in the lineage of Jesus Christ. You see, that's why it's so important to read your Old Testament. You say, well, it doesn't apply to me. I'm not a Jew. Yes, I get that. But there's things that you can pull out and line up just like we are to be as Christians. Just as Israel was to be a light to the nations, we ought to be a light to this lost and dying world. Individuals should look at us and say, what a great God they serve. Look at the deliverance their God brought about in their life. Look at how God helps them through their trials and temptations and things in their life. What God do you serve, and how can you have what you have? And you can say, because it's what Jesus Christ has done for me. Let me tell you, my King, let me tell you, my Savior. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. There's a lot of different ways that people look at that. But I guess my question this morning is, are you calling out to the name of the Lord daily? Are you calling out to Him to ask Him to help you be everything you can be today for Him as a witness and a testimony for His glory and for His honor, to be that light that would shine in this nation that we're living in? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Dear Lord, I pray these things made sense, dear God. Lord, sometimes I don't even know what I'm saying, dear God, but I pray, Lord, that this makes sense, dear Lord. God, help us to be that light and testimony. Lord, help us to let your light so shine, dear God, in this dark and crooked and perverse world that we're living in. Lord, we're not taken home to heaven yet. Lord, you haven't called us home to heaven. So, Lord, I believe you still have a purpose for us here. Lord, help us to live in the light of your word. Help us to be a testimony to this lost and dying world. And help us to call upon your name daily for the help and strength that we need to live, to finish the course, to keep the faith, and to fight a good fight. Lord, we ask these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Take a little break here for a moment.